time for the Monday Means Test with Greg Alexander.
Thanks to UPIN Property, dream it, find it, UPIN it. Brandy is with us as we get down to the final four. Morning, Brandy. Your reactions from the weekend and what a difference a couple of games makes. One with lots of points and the other as tight as we've seen in a long time.
Yeah, incredible weekend of footy, Matty. And down to two games. It felt strange yesterday being at home on a Sunday for the first time this year. Well, since the season kicked off back in March. It's business time, all right. And it was two different games. The first game, the Sea Eagles, was much like what we've seen a lot of games this year, where it was very lopsided. The Sea Eagles jumped out to a start, much like the Melbourne Storm against the Sea Eagles the previous week, where the game was basically over after 15 minutes. And that was the case on Friday night when Trbojevic, Foran and Cherry Evans had scored tries inside 15 minutes. So game was done. Roosters just didn't have the firepower to mount any sort of comeback. But what a game it was Saturday night. Brutal, intense. I was concerned about Penrith's chances going in, and I'm a worrier. So, I just liked what Parramatta had done the previous week. I know it was against Newcastle, but they had individuals in, they were doing things that they didn't do all season. Mitch Moses ran the ball more than I'd seen him run all season. Their front row rig and Campbell Gellard returned for that clash against Newcastle. So I was concerned, and I knew it would be a close game. I didn't expect what we got, but because it was in a season, Matty, where we've had point scoring records smashed, both individually and team records, we had a game that only had two tries scored, two tries from kicks. It was 8-6 at half time, and that was the score at full time. I can't remember a game. I know we've had a couple of low scoring games, but these games that were low scoring through the year didn't hold a candle to what happened on Saturday night. It was a game where only two tries were scored, but so much happened. There's so many storylines out of that game, whether it was controversy, whether it was just the brutal defence, whether it was try-saving tackles, whether it was the kicking game of both the halves who just launched aerial raids against the back three. They kicked their teams out of trouble. It was an incredible game.
It was an amazing game of rugby league, and it looked as though it was going to take off there with about 10 minutes to go. And then, there were more twists and turns for that final 10 minutes as well. In terms of the Manly versus Roosters game on Friday night, like we say, chalk and cheese completely, and the amount of points that were scored there was just incredible. 48 points overall on the Roosters season is done. I said just there in the opening piece that it was an almost merciful end. I mean, Roosters fans won't like the sound of that, but given the season they've had, Brandy, the Roosters should be extremely proud of what they've achieved.
Yeah, look, and you don't want to... When Luke Keary was hurt back in, I think it was round three, it was early in the season when they played South, he went down with that knee injury. When he went down, you thought, well, I don't know if the Roosters can win the comp without Luke Keary. Because of the young, inexperienced halves that they already had, they'd parted ways with Kyle Flanagan. So the halfback that was the halfback for most of the year, the previous, he was gone. Then Luke Keary went down, such a important member of that team. So right from that moment, I think most people went, well, the Roosters, no, they can be there around the mark, but I can't see them winning the comp without Luke Keary because of the young halves. Sam Walker was untried and 18, hadn't played any footy the previous year. Then they had Lachie Lamb and Drew Hutchison as maybe, players that could fill in, but... Yeah, so what they were able to do just without Luke Keary, I thought, was pretty impressive. But, if you throw in the retirements of Boyd Cordner and Jake Friend, Brett Morris, the injuries to Lindsay Collins, a raft of injuries. When I went through their lineup, Matty, coming into the Manly game, they had 10 out that would have been starters, 10 starters out of that side. So, yeah, they did a great job to get where they did. But with Manly controlling the footy, and Des always says it, it's about possession. Last week they completed 21 sets. This week, that was against the Melbourne Storm. This week they got through 31 sets. And the difference is you bring your good players into the game. Melbourne didn't allow them to get into the game because Manly made so many errors and the Storm controlled the footy. This time, Manly, the Roosters got off to the poor start. Manly played a lot of footy in the opening 15 minutes inside the Roosters' territory and were able to come up with three tries. And the game was done and dusted there.
Incredible. If you were Melbourne or if you were the Rabbitohs, who do you think's had a more comfortable weekend watching what's unfolded for their prospective opponents this weekend?
Well, I'm sure the Storm sat back and thought, wow, look at these blokes. They're bashing the hell out of each other. You know, they might be a few down by the time they get to us and finish the 80 minutes. So I'm sure the Storm, you know, that went through their minds. But then they would also be thinking, boy, these blokes are battle-hardened. Whoever gets through this, you know, and they're young bodies, so they recover pretty quickly. They would have been sore yesterday. They'll still be sore today. But, you know, by the time tomorrow runs around, these blokes are used to getting bashed. And they bash each other at training regularly. You know, I know we've spoken about this previously, Matty. What they do at training is chalk and cheese to what we used to do. I didn't make a tackle over the off season. These blokes hammer each other in opposed sessions, and they play footy weekly at training. That like full on contact sessions, so they're used to it. So even though it was, you know, it looked like it would gas them, they won't. They'll be ready to go Penrith by tomorrow. So I think South would have looked at Trbojevic tearing the Roosters apart and thought, well, you know, we need a good plan to stop him, and that plan will revolve around how well our middles play and how well we defend. Can we defend like we did against the Panthers? Because if they do, if the Bunnies can pull off another defensive performance like they did against the Panthers, Manly are in for one hell of a game.
Brandy, are getting some breaking news from Peter Bedell. Anthony Milford has been arrested by police. So this happened last night following an alleged assault. The Broncos were aware of the incident and have notified the integrity unit. So more details on that to come. Of course, Milford has signed with the Rabbitohs for the 2022 season. So we just had a text come through saying, I've just tuned in, what's happened with Milford? That is the scenario at the moment. So arrested by police last night following an alleged assault. The Broncos were aware of it. The NRL Integrity Unit is now aware of it. So we'll bring you up to speed on that as the morning progresses. We need to take a quick break after this. I'll get your grand final predictions. We need to find out what's happening with Michael Maguire, who steps in at the West Tigers if they are going to pull the trigger. And the Monday Means Test with Greg Alexander, thanks to UPIN Property. Dream it, find it, UPIN it, Australia's first seeking property market app. You can download it now. Have your say via text 0457 736 736 or give us a call like John has done from Harrington Park this morning on the open line. Morning, John. Your grand finalist. You've got it sorted out, have you?
How are you? Yeah, well, mate, we're arch rivals this week, mate. My Bunnies on Tipman's made the grand final against Melbourne. Look, I think you got your Manly team, the main thing they got out Saturday night was having another run in finals football, because they wouldn't have got much more out of that.
Yeah, well, they turned it around, and that's the key for me, John. So you're going for a Bunnies v Storm grand final. Good on you, mate. Thank you for that. So, Brandy, the options are these. Melbourne v Rabbitohs, Melbourne v Manly, Rabbitohs v Penrith, or Manly v Penrith. Mm. They're our four options for our grand finals. Are you prepared to have a look at one of those a couple of weeks out? Oh.
Gee whiz. It's hard to get a read on the Bunnies, and you know, without Latrell Mitchell, they got by with, you know, on a defensive performance that they haven't put up one like that this year. That was as good as Souths have tackled all season. And they had to do it against Penrith. Have they still got enough attack to win the game? I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not willing to go out on a limb at the moment, Matty, really, with that South Manly game. I, I, you know, South Manly's inexperience, and we just had the call, John, talk about the fact that they got another game under their belt, and that's true too. You know, I think their inexperienced lineup, finals inexperienced lineup, was probably evident against the Storm. It was a bit of a deer in the headlights type performance from Manly last week. Once they were off the ball in the second minute, they just couldn't recover. So, gee, it's hard to get a read on it. I you know, at the moment, if I was going to, I think South might be, I think their defence just might be too much for Manly. I think they can close enough of Tom down to hurt Manly enough, and they've still got Cody and Adam Reynolds played a great attacking hand against the Panthers. Just did what he's done for most of the season. That's engage those inside defenders to give his outside men a little bit of space. Again, it'll come down to who wins that battle in the middle. It was, you know, Burgess and Totola and Nichols and Arrow were outstanding against Penrith. Can they do the same against Manly? And Manly's middles looked a lot better with Sean Kepi starting on the weekend. I thought Kepi was outstanding in the opening 20 minutes. He's big and mobile, and, you know, he missed the last five games of the regular season with, you know, he had baby duties. He had to then go into quarantine. So Manly's middles look pretty good with Tapau and Kepi and Paseka off the bench, Alloy A. It's going to be it's a fascinating game. I really don't know who's going to win, Matt. I really don't. And in the other one, God, Penrith and Melbourne. Naturally, I think Penrith can win, but that doesn't mean they will. Melbourne they're the Everest at the moment. You know, if Penrith can somehow get past Melbourne, there we go. Might be a premiership.
All right. On the text line, Buzz says, my grand final selection's Rabbitohs v Storm. I really feel sorry for Madge. The Tigers management have crucified all their coaches in the past 10 years. So let's talk about this situation with Michael Maguire. The word is that he could be replaced or could be shown the door as early as today. If sacked, Brandy, he'd be the sixth coach since Tim Sheens was dumped in 2012 to be moved on at the Tigers. So can I get your thoughts? We've covered this over the last month or so. Can I get your thoughts on what you think's happening there at the West Tigers? And if Madge needs moving on, who do you go looking for? And obviously your man, Cameron Seraldo's in the frame.
Yeah, he's in the frame. I haven't spoken to Cameron, and Cameron wouldn't even want to talk about it at this stage with Penrith still alive and him with a lot of work to do to get them ready for this weekend's game. But he is one of those assistant coaches that is, you know, has graduated now to be on the, you know, he's right up in the pecking order in terms of assistant coaches. And don't forget, Cameron did coach first grade for some time at the end of 18 when Anthony Griffin was shown the door. Cameron Seraldo stepped in and did a good job. So no surprise to see his name mentioned, Matty. You know, the Tigers, what are they considering at the moment? They're thinking, can Madge do a job for us next year and the year after? Like, he's got 2 years to go. Or do we pay him out? Do we cut our ties now? Do we think that he's done all he can with this side and that going forward we won't improve as a club or as a team? That's what's going through the board members' minds at the moment. Do we bite the bullet and do we pay him out? And if so, have we got the money to pay him out? You know, it's all well and good to say, yeah, let's just sever ties with Michael Maguire and move on. They've got to pay him out, and then they've got to pay a new coach. So it's a double whammy.
The reports are, mate, that payout's worth $750,000. So you're right. You're going to have to look at it financially. Can you just put me into the player's perspective of when that happens? So there will be players in there that won't get on with Madge's style of coaching. That's just the way of the world. But if the axe falls today or tomorrow or this week, what's it like in the playing group when all of a sudden you've got the realisation that the coach who you've been playing for all year is now no longer there? It's real.
Yeah, well, it's a bit of uncertainty. That's for sure. But it's, you know, for the players that are under contract, it's, well, okay, let's see what we got. You know, whether they got on with Maguire or didn't, You know, we've spoken about this plenty of times. Players are pretty resilient and just get on with things. Although sacking the coach, well, you know, as we've just heard, the Tigers have done it a fair bit over the last 10 years, and plenty of clubs do it. So it's not as if it's a new phenomenon, and these players aren't used to it. Some young players mightn't be, and those young players that have just come into the squad and that are enjoying just being part of a first grade setup, it will be a shock to them. You know, they'll think, oh, and Madge probably got on well with the young players. Probably, you know, and I know young players that come in and you sort of idolise your first coach. So that it's tough for young players to go through that, but those experienced players, that it's a business. One coach goes, they sign a new one, you get on with it. That's, you're under contract, that's all you can do.
Quick one before the 9:30 news on Coach of the Year. I've got a split hair between four, and it seems that all the talk is that let's just give it to Craig Bellamy and Trent Robinson and cut the award in half. But surely you've got to have Wayne Bennett and Des Hasler in particular to be there with those four. Would you agree with that?
Yes, absolutely. I think that trying to pick the Coach of the Year is a tough one. Let's wait until see when's the grand final and pick it then. but Bellamy, you know, to have Melbourne 19 in a row, win another minor premiership. I know you're not counting what happened last year, but they are the defending premiers. They've won four minor premierships in the last 6 years, and the other 2 years they've run second. That's through the regular season. You know, so it could easily be Craig Bellamy. We've spoken about the Roosters and what they've gone through this season. It could be Trent Robinson. Des Hasler, they wanted to get rid of Des after a month. And now he's got them into a prelim final, one game away from the grand final. So it could easily be Des, and it could be Ivan as well. Ivan Cleary's done a great job again.
Yes.
Penrith losing three games through the regular season again. So it's, you know, a handful of games in the last 2 years. Ivan's put his hand up to be Coach of the Year as well.
Queensland police have now confirmed that Anthony Milford has been charged with three counts of assault, occasioning bodily harm. He'll appear in court on October 20, and the NRL Integrity Unit is investigating the matter. It's time for the 9:30 news. Yeah, thank you, Phoebe. Nice and warm today, but then a cold snap tomorrow and then back to business. Now, the Brisbane Broncos have released a statement about this Anthony Milford situation. They say Anthony Milford has completed his contractual duties with the Broncos. He's on leave and due to begin a new NRL contract elsewhere at the commencement of the 2022 preseason. As the matter is now before the courts, the Broncos will make no further comment. So we'll keep following that story. At the Fortinet Championship on the US PGA Tour, Maverick McNealy, Brandy, has a one-shot lead over Max Homer. So these guys have still got seven for McNealy and six holes to play for Homer. And then Mark Leishman in the clubhouse at 15 under. So he's up there in outright third position at the moment with plenty of holes to play for these two Americans at the top. Mate, can we talk about the stoppages in play? Let's get to the issues across the weekend, the milking of penalties and the trainer interruptions in particular. Let's start with the trainer interruptions, because there was no doubt that it sucked the air out of the momentum that Parramatta had going at the back end of this match and quite possibly could have gone on to win it. We'll never know, and they're not the only people that are doing it. Where do you stand on this issue?
It's a problem. There's no doubt, Matty. And I think the NRL thought that they'd addressed it at the end of last year, because last year and the year before that, it got to the ridiculous stage. And I remember doing games and commenting on it. And players were, if a repeat set was forced, if someone rolled it in the end goal, you'd find players would just drop to the ground. And the referee, and then the referee would blow time off, and the trainer would run out and he'd assess the player and there'd be nothing wrong with him. And that just gave the defensive team more time to get themselves set. So what they did at the end of last year, they brought out a rule where the trainer would only stop the play. Now, referee can get information from the bunker about a head knock, and the referee can blow time off. He can stop play if there's a head knock. But if there's any other type of injury, The trainer can signal to the referee to stop play. Now, if he does that, once he signals to the referee, he's opened up a little bit of a Pandora's box where he then has to remove that player. The player then has to leave the field. Now, you take the punt of him leaving the field and playing without him for 2 minutes, or you replace the player. So you use an interchange and you replace the player. Now, the trainer is only meant to alert the referee after he has assessed the player. Now, this sort of thing has gone on all year. It was just highlighted on the weekend because the game was so close and there was 2 points in it, and it was getting down to the, you know, the business end of the game. Para on the move with a chance, you know, to really go at the Penrith line because the Panthers were on the back foot. And the trainer called for the ref to stop the play prior to assessing the player. Now, the referee stopped play. The touch judge informed the referee that play needed to be stopped, and play was stopped. I think stopping play for players with any sort of injury other than a head knock and a possible concussion is ridiculous when he's nowhere near the play. I remember when players used to fall down near the play the ball and they go, just move the play the ball. We'll leave him there. If he wants to lay down, get on with it. Sometimes we go, you know, player welfare and player safety, we can really, you know, milk it. And that's what happens now. We're that concerned about player welfare and player safety that teams take advantage of it. And there's rules that we've got in play now that have just gone to the ridiculous stage. And I know I'm veering off now into, you know, I've just spoken about the trainers, but now I'm veering off into injuries and feigning injuries and some of the rules in play now that have just gone way too far. And the one that irks me is, now I'm all for player safety and protecting fullbacks, and we needed to bring a rule in where you couldn't make contact or you couldn't take out the fullback. Blokes used to take their legs out, remember? And you know, fullbacks would be flipped in the air and land on their heads, and that was okay. So we had to bring in a rule to, you know, make it safe for the fullback to get in the air. Now, when two players go in the air, and the player that doesn't catch the ball, who, you know, is a lot of the times the man that's going for it on the attacking side, the defending fullback goes up, he catches the ball, and if he's pulled down by a player who is up in the air with him, and the player grabs his jersey and pulls him to the ground, that's a penalty. Now, that's ridiculous. There's no danger to the player. There's no danger to the fullback. But, you know, we just take it to the, you know, right to the end and go, if you touch him, it's a penalty. Which, you know, I think it's ridiculous. And now we've got that exact same situation with the crusher tackle. And I remember I did an article with Phil Rothfield 3 or 4 years ago, and I said, this is the most dangerous tackle in the game at the moment, where players who had backed into defence were held up by players and then lifted, and the player who was then the defender who was lifting him then would come down with all his force on the back of his head. And I'm watching these tackles, and I'm thinking someone's going to break their neck soon. We will end up with a broken neck because they are pile driving on top of the player, on top of his head, and driving him into the ground with his, you know, with his backside on the ground. That was so dangerous. Now, we stamped that out, and you know, we made it so that no one does that anymore. That's just that, you know, and it's almost like the dangerous throw, the spear tackle, just got rubbed out of the game because we were so serious with it. And I totally agreed with how the league really clamped down on these crusher tackles. But now we've got innocuous tackles where a player's head might get brushed and he grabs the back of his neck. For instance, on the weekend, Blake Ferguson, barely a touch to his head, but he felt it, so he grabbed the back of his neck and then ridiculously jumped up and, you know, wanted to have a crack at Mitch Kenny. But I've seen a number of, you know, these crusher tackles or, you know, accidental players getting into an awkward position and somehow just brushing the head of a player, and He grabs his neck, and the referee, he's left in no... the referee's got to blow a penalty. The bunker might be able to step in over the top, but the referee isn't a doctor. So he sees a player grab the back of his neck. He sees that the player has gone near his head and has to blow a penalty. Now, the bunker could step in the Blake Ferguson case and go, no, come on, that's you're taking a land.
And they should have. They should have. And what's happened in the Parramatta Penrith game is that it's ignited another war of words with the coaches. So we've seen this in previous weeks. So let's have a listen to both sides here. This is Brad Arthur after the match.
Well, there's been a bit of complaining over the last couple of weeks, and they got what they were after from the back of the whinging.
What do you mean by that?
Trying to make the game faster. How many stoppages was there tonight? How many? When we were starting to get on top, there was a lot. Bunker gets involved. We're 7-2 penalty count. Bunker gets involved for what reasons? But then we kick down, we make the line break out of the backfield, we get down there. Will Penasoni gets tackled off the ball. Mitchell Moses is running down there to chase and gets tackled in the background off the ball.
Do you think that Ivan's comments throughout the week in the lead-up to this game and the lead-up to the Bunnies game had an impact on what happened tonight?
Oh, it might have helped them tonight.
So that was Brad Arthur. Here's Ivan Cleary's response to those comments about him whinging.
Brad was in here just before saying that potentially your comments throughout the last sort of 2 weeks had an impact on what happened today. I guess in stoppages in terms of match officials, some calls made against the Eels. I guess what's your response to that?
No, I don't understand.
He was sort of saying
what did I say?
He basically said that you guys got what you wanted at the end of the day in making those comments.
I don't understand that. I made a comment what I believe in last week. Yeah, I don't know how that helped anyone. I didn't talk to anyone this week.
So there you go. We now have Arthur V. Cleary to add to the list. 0457 736 736 is the text line if you'd like to join us at this US PGA Tour event. Max Homer and Maverick McNealy now share the lead. So McNealy's got some company up the top of the leaderboard. They're at 17 under with about 6 holes to play. Mark Leishman in the clubhouse in outright third at 15 under. We'll continue the Monday Means Test with your questions right after this. Welcome back. It has just gone 9:45, so a busy, busy program coming your way. Adam Gilchrist will join me after the 10 o'clock news. We'll catch up on a Monday morning, and we'll have a listen to Kiwi legend Chris Cairns, who's recovered after quite a scary period in his life. On the text line, Brandy, this one from Andrew from Newcastle. Question for you, was the Rabbitohs defence that good against the Panthers? The Panthers' attack looks way less potent than earlier in the year. 2 tries total in finals so far, both from kicks.
Yeah, I can understand that sentiment, but no, South's defence was really that good. South's defence was... I haven't seen the speed of their defensive line like that all season. They were big hits. Arrow was outstanding defensively. Jaden Sewell was as well. No, South, that was their best defensive game. Penrith might have dropped away a little in attack, and I agree with that too, but put that win down to South's defence.
Kenny from Sunny Ulladulla says, Matt and Brandy, Penrith used an illegal tactic. You can't tell me that wasn't radioed through from the coach. What do we do now? Start taping what comes out of the coach's box to keep them in line. And yes, I'm a grumpy Parramatta fan, he says.
Okay. I don't know. That, you know, we can speculate all we like. Who'd know? I wouldn't think there was a message down from the coach. No.
This one from Bulldog Mal. Brandy, you can talk Manly up all you want, but they're ordinary. Had a poor finish to the season. Lucky to beat the Dogs just before 10-6 just before halftime. Smashed by Storm and then beat a depleted Roosters side. Manly, the worst of the four, left by a long way. Mm. Penrith or Storm will smash the Bunnies in the grand final.
Yeah, well, I don't think they're worst by a long way. They might be ranked fourth, and they did finish fourth. But I'm still not. I still don't know who's going to win. Without Latrell Mitchell, they got by without Latrell last week, the Bunnies. I don't know how much it will hurt them this week. But, you know, Manly have earned their spot. They were scratchy towards the back end of the season, and it was a pretty dour game against the Dogs, but we'll see. We'll see.
Steve says, boys, the Panthers look tired the last couple of games. What's the difference this week? Their forwards were out-muscled on the weekend, and they look disjointed in attack. They've got a bit of work to do against arrested Storm. I'd agree with the last sentence there, Steve. What do you think, Brandy?
Everyone's got
a bit of work to do.
Yeah, look for Penrith to win, and at this stage of the season, for anyone to beat Melbourne, like Melbourne aren't going to beat themselves. You can't see Melbourne, you know, having a poor completion rate, having less than 50% of possession. You will need to play the perfect game. Penrith have got that in them. We haven't seen it for a while, but they've shown all year that, you know, for the first 16 rounds of the year, before Origin interrupted their season and Nathan couldn't play for 6 weeks, Penrith did show that they have got a perfect game in them. Agree about the middles. They were completely outplayed against the Bunnies, but I thought they held their own in what was a brutal clash on Saturday night against the Eels middles, who were outstanding.
Wild Panther says, Brandy, are you confident of re-signing Kikau? The rumoured $1 million seems ridiculous, probably just media and manager talk. His form's not as good this year, but hope we can keep him, but not for huge dollars. He's also got an injury concern as well, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's got an ankle problem. Hopefully, you know, he'll be right to go. He was a little bit quiet on the weekend. Can we keep him? Yeah, look, we'll be doing all we can to keep Viliami. He's been terrific since he came down from the Cowboys, made his debut with us. But, of course, managing the salary cap is always part of the equation. So, we'll be doing all we can to keep kicks.
Just a final one from Cole says, can you ask Brandy if Penrith are any chance of winning a premiership with Dylan Edwards as fullback?
I thought Dylan was outstanding. I know he dropped the ball. He missed the first one from Mitch Moses. But I think any fullback would have had trouble getting to that first Mitch Moses bomb. It was outstanding. He did drop another one. And Dylan, he can come up with an error or two. But I thought he was outstanding for the rest of the game. He did plenty of work. We can win a comp with Dylan.
Before we let you go this morning, I'd like to do a quick post-mortem on the two that bowed out across the weekend. So we've got the Roosters and the Eels leaving the Premiership. The Roosters finished fifth after the horror injury toll that you mentioned. James Tedesco claimed his fourth Jack Gibson medal for Player of the Year just last night. So your summary on their season and the season ahead for the Roosters?
Yeah, well, once you know they've had their retirements and they will, they'll bring in some new players and they'll get all those players that were injured. You get Lindsay Collins and Luke Keary back into that lineup. All of a sudden, it's a completely different team. You've got one of the best young front rowers in the game, and you've got a 5'8" or a half who can steer them around. I think he was going to play half, Keary. I think he was going to be the on-ball half, and I'm sure that's what he'll be next year. And the Roosters get those players back, they'll be a force again. No problem. Get Joey Manu back in that lineup along with Luke Keary, and they'll be a force for the Eels. Well, you know, there was a lot of debate after that month where they lost four straight, culminated with the Seagulls putting 50 on them. Many calling for Brad Arthur's head. He'll be the coach next year. I think what he's done with them towards the back end of the season was enough. Certainly, you don't get a side that puts in the performance they did against Penrith if they're not playing for the coach. So I think that will be settled and the Eels move on. And I think from what I've seen from the Eels in the back end of the season, they can threaten next year. As long as those key players play their best footy week in, week out and are more consistent.
I tell you what, I think there's no question that Mitch Moses has grown in confidence, especially over the last few weeks. So if they can take that into next season, then they do have a big off contract list though for 2022, but that's a problem down the line. All right, so we look ahead to this weekend and we're down to that final four, Brandy. So two more matches to decide who are our grand finalists. Friday night, then Saturday afternoon. So Rabbitohs v Seagulls, your thoughts on that? Who goes through? Who misses out?
I'll flip and flop throughout the week, Matty, but I'm going to go Souths. I think Souths just might be able to get it done against Manly. I think they might be too tough. I think their edges can shut them down, shut Olakau'atu and Schuster down on the edges. And I think Souths' middles were that good against Penrith that, you know, if they roll that sort of form into the game against Manly, I think Walker and Reynolds just might be able to do enough to get them home. which would be stunning, you know, because I did think that without Latrell Mitchell, they can't even make a grand final. And I said that a few weeks ago, but I'm going to go back on what I said and say that Souths get to the grand final. In the other one, I'm going to go Penrith. I just think, you know, I hope Penrith. I'm hoping Penrith. I'm thinking Penrith. I'm hoping, Matty, you know, hopefully all our players get through. Brian To'o, I hope Brian's fit. We missed him on the weekend, even though Naden did a great job. We missed the carries from Brian. Hopefully that, you know, Viliami Kikau's injury isn't too serious and we upset the favourites to win the comp.
On you, Brandy. Good on you. We'll catch you next week. You're allowed to flip and flop, so I was prepared to give you a bit of a leave pass, maybe ring you later on in the week. But good on you, mate. We'll catch up again next Monday.
Good, Matty.
The Monday Means Test with Greg Alexander is thanks to UPIN Property. You can dream it, find it, UPIN it. 0457 736 736 is the text line if you'd like to join us for the next couple of hours of the program. Adam Gilchrist coming up soon.